Introduction. Quote, "Bullets and machine guns capable of daunting Duvalier do not exist. They cannot touch me. I am already an immaterial being. No foreigner is going to tell me what to do." End quote. Papa Doc Duvalier. The island off Hispaniola is the second largest island in the Antilles chain behind Cuba and host to the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti, covering the western third of the island, is a French-speaking territory, while the Dominican Republic, which occupies the other two-thirds, is a Spanish-speaking territory. The Dominican Republic, although classified as a developing nation, has never been struck to the same degree by the malaise of poverty and corruption of its neighbor. Languishing in the lower 10% of nations, ahead only of some of the most conspicuous failed states in Africa. Many historians and analysts have posed the question of why, and the answer seems to lie in Haiti's uniquely tortured history. Hispaniola entered the European record in 1492 when Christopher Columbus made landfall on its southern shore during his first transatlantic voyage, and he named his discovery in honor of the Spanish crown that had funded and sponsored the voyage. Leaving the crew of the wrecked Santa Maria on the island, he returned to Europe, leaving his men to establish the foundations of the settlement of La Navidad and the first beachhead of the European seizure of the Caribbean and the New World. Columbus would revisit the island three times, leading a vanguard of pioneer colonists to commence the exploitation of the New World. The indigenous people of Hispaniola, the Tainos and Arawak, initially greeted the landing with ambivalence, but as more and more of them were enslaved, and as their country was occupied, they entered a period of precipitous decline. Through a combination of disease, the violence associated with enslavement, and general assimilation, they had virtually disappeared from the landscape within a century. Meanwhile, as the Spanish colonists looked around them, searching for a means to exploit this great discovery, and as the occupation spread to the mainland and the interior of South America, the early search for minerals yielded to the establishment of a plantation economy, with an emphasis initially on sugar and later cotton, coffee, indigo, and other crops. Thus, even by the 16th century, slaves were being imported to Hispaniola, and over the next few centuries, the population of African slaves came to represent a sizable majority of the population there. This would set the stage for one of history's most unique revolutions. The improbable Haitian Revolution, and in particular the 1804 massacres, lived on to bedevil the West and the process of emancipation in every corner of the slave-owning world, hobbling the progress of the Republic and lending substance to calls for a continuation of slavery. During the American Civil War, as the Union closed in on the Confederacy, the specter of the 1804 massacres was regurgitated time and again to rally Southerners to defend their territory and their policies. Southerners insisted that if the door was opened even slightly to admitting blacks into the population of free America, no white man, woman, or child would be safe. As for Haiti, the potent symbolism of its success in self-emancipation and the establishment of a black republic was not reflected in the forward march of the nation itself. To date, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and one of the poorest in the world. Numerous government coups have taken place over the years, and insecurity and periodic unrest have been a perpetual blight. Poverty and crime are widespread, and corruption endemic. Besides that, as a weak and impoverished nation, Haiti has been subject to outside interference, both direct and indirect, mainly on the part of the United States, which frequently introduced efforts